The two, and welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 80. What are we reading? I am Chris Mosby.
Caleb Gervern.
And sorry, I'm coughing up a lung. I'm Murray Fox.
That's all right. I think a lot of people have that right now.
And this is the telethon for a new lung for Murray. 888. Lung mer.
Excellent. Made me cough. Hey, my dad's got one too.
Excellent. Well, then the pair needs a third one down there, so I will just send it through cyber. And
there you go.
You can have the third. Anyway, I will be fine.
Okay.
I have my mute button ready to go.
Okay.
And lots of ice.
I'll try not to hit mine too often. But anyway. This week we are talking about comics we've been reading, and we won't keep it away from DC and Marvel. Actually, we'll be talking about things, and more than likely it'll be things that we haven't talked about before, or maybe we dissed in the past and found out that it's actually okay, and things like that, in the case of Caleb, anyway.
And a big, fat spoiler warning.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, we'll be spoiling stuff.
Yeah, we probably will be. Let's get into it here.
Totally.
All right, so you alluded to comics that I did not like before and have come around on, and I have come around on All New X-Men.
I've heard that.
I am enjoying it. I partook in an issue, not in the most illegal of methods, and said, "Oh, wow, that was really good."
Mm.
And have since back issued up through, and I'm caught up. I think what's number 7 right now.
Yeah, I think so. That's coming out every other week, right?
Ish. Every other week. Ish.
Now, Marvel. As we've discovered, I believe, well, we would have talked about on last episode if I hadn't got corrupted. We talked about, I think we mentioned how, like, Avengers was out, and then it was like almost two months before it came out again, and then all of a sudden it was every week for like 3 weeks in a row or something like that, something crazy like that.
I think that was Murray's math, yes.
Yes, I believe we looked at the release dates on Comixology. But yeah. So tell us a little bit more about that. Discuss.
Well, I Bendis has pulled back on his usual mammoth-like rambling that he does when he writes.
Mm-hmm.
to get a little metaphysical there with the mammoth.
Yeah.
Anybody who knows mammoth will know what I'm talking about.
I totally lost what you're saying. That's okay.
Or like on West Wing. Who was the guy who did West Wing?
Sorkin. Aaron Sorkin.
Yeah. Also that same school. They're all three of them are that same school of thought.
Okay.
It's that quick back and forth like Spencer and Tracy kind of thing.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah. Like he does in Powers frequently.
There you go. Exactly. And that is what turned me completely off on his Avengers stuff. And he has pulled back, not completely, but he has pulled back on that with all new X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
And he's writing the young, time-transported X-Men. Very interesting. His Cyclops is very confused, and his Jean Grey is coming into her own. She looks like they're going to make her the team leader.
Mm.
I'm actually more curious about what they're going to do with the other three usual front men of the original X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see some Iceman story. I'd like to see an Angel story. I think Angel, actually, of all the characters, other than maybe Jean Grey because she died, has gone through the most evolution.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah,
over the years. And I think that my biggest disappointment, though is Immonen.
Oh, yeah, he's off there already.
He's not in the book. He was on it briefly, and then he's not now. I don't know if that's a permanent situation or not.
Yeah, it looks like 7 and 8 at least. I'm just looking at Comixology, and it's showing David Marquez being on number 8.
He's good.
I like his art.
Mm-hmm. He is really good. And that's not a dig him. It's just I like Stuart Immonen's pencils a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does a good job.
And I thought he could handle a bi-weekly or whatever the schedule happens to be on that book. But I guess we all get old.
At some point, it's got to catch up with you at some point. So I get them giving him a breather. I hope he comes back because he does good stuff.
Yeah, I hope it's a breather. Exactly. I'm not certain whether Bendis can do for the X-Men what he did for the Avengers. I don't think they need it, to be honest with you. The Avengers needed that kick in the ass back when he did disassemble. The X-Men don't, so he just has to tell interesting news stories and make sure that they don't drop off the radar like they could potentially do. So they have, 17 titles or something out right now? Including two X-Force titles, for goodness sake.
Yes. So how did they reconcile keeping the young team in the present? Like, the first storyline, they got there, and then they rushed off into some adventure, and so you get why they're there for the first storyline. But what's their reasoning for sticking around now?
They just basically they want to. They haven't really accomplished their main goal, which was to confront old Cyclops and talk him out of his course of action. And honestly, the characters in the book have mirrored what those of us in the real world have said, which is, I can't believe what a stupid idea that was.
Yeah.
Which Bendis does. He does that whole metaphysical, same readers are thinking kind of thing.
He does do that.
Because he knows. I mean, he knew it before he wrote the issue, that it wasn't, that it was going to be perceived as a stupid idea. And to his credit, he has made it work so far.
Interesting.
Do the characters have a way back to the past, or are they trapped?
They have a way back, as far as I know. I don't remember
ever
saying
choosing not to use it. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, because it seems like, I think I discussed this once before, Marvel Universe does the you really can't go back in time thing. You can go to an alternate universe. So,
and I know. and I think that's the ghost of the machine is that that it's going to turn out not to be them.
Mm-hmm.
He will have gone back in time, but or. He will have gone to an alternate universe where it was, 15 years ago or however long ago it was supposed to be.
Yeah,
whatever the slot and timeline is.
Yeah. Of course, they don't have alternate universes in Marvel, right?
Yeah, they do.
No, somebody said, one of those Marvel guys said that, we don't have that. Yeah, whatever.
What do they have?
I don't know. They made up something. I forget. It was a stupid thing to say.
Yes. Yeah, that's really
so obvious.
Right. Yeah, and anyhow, it's been fun, and I'm actually, I don't know if he'll revert back to type and start doing that dialogue thing that he does again, but for now I'm on for the ride, and along with Uncanny X-Men, which turned out to be pretty good as well, with the Chris Bachalow art on it, or Bachalow or whatever.
Oh, for me,
but certainly better than Uncanny Avengers.
Yeah, that really didn't resonate with me either. I mean, I don't know. Hickman, Now, I'll tell you one thing, though. The new Avengers one, that's kind of got me hooked, even though I think it's coming out every other week, too.
Is that the Illuminati one?
No, not that,
Like, when you say new Avengers, do you mean the new issue of Avengers or the new issue of New Avengers?
Okay, the actual Avengers, not Avengers Arena or Avengers Assemble or Secret Avengers or what's that other Avengers title? The one you were talking about with the Illuminati in it?
New Avengers.
That would be new Avengers.
Yes, New Avengers, yes. No, I'm talking about Avengers Volume 5, as Comixology puts it, that Mr. Hickman is writing. It's good. I like it.
That's the one with Sunspot and Cannonball in it, right?
Yes, yes it is. And they're explaining the other characters, like, okay, the chick in the black and white outfit with the red highlights, she called Smasher.
Mm-hmm.
She's actually a human that inadvertently got into the Shi'ar Imperial Guard. The last issue was her story. Pretty much like a very Green Lantern-esque origin, you know.
Oh, that's kind of right. I hadn't thought of it that way, but yeah, you're right.
Like the suits are alive, and it got blasted off of a Shi'ar Imperial, and she found it and told her to put it on, and next thing you know, she was going through a warp into Imperial space and blah, 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 blah. So, but that was kind of interesting. The next issue is going to talk about the apparent Captain Universe character. Mm-hmm. So that should be interesting.
Monica LeBeau.
Mm-hmm.
It is?
Yeah, yeah. That's, Sorry, that's the old
Captain Marvel is going to be her?
The old Captain Marvel Photon. Yeah, yeah, that's her.
Get out of here.
No, they haven't really introduced her that way yet, but maybe by issue 6 or 7 they will.
Well, yeah. Well, yes, her story's in 6. It doesn't really give much, but she's on the cover, so.
I thought they called her Monica in this last issue. Sam and Bobby come walking in on Stark, and they're asking for Monica and whatever the Smasher chick's name is.
Yeah, I must have missed that one.
Hmm. Yeah, they might have. They might have. Either way, though, they didn't. But it's.
Hmm.
You need to know your history, I think, to pick up on that. Otherwise, you're just reading it and you get, oh, yeah, this girl. This lady is named Monica. Okay, got it.
Mm.
And if you don't have the history with the character, then to you it's just any old Monica, whereas to other people it's the Monica who has a history with the team.
With the Avengers, yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess that means Next Wave is no more, which is sad.
Mm.
Speaking of Stuart Immonen.
Yeah, he was on that too, wasn't he? I meant to check that out. There was a trade at the comic shop that I was going to grab, and I never ever did, but...
You should.
Mm.
I should.
You should. It's wacky, wonky stuff.
Interesting. That should be interesting.
Their first fight was against Fing Fang Foom.
Ooh, there you go. Yeah, once again, they're allowing pre-orders on Comixology, which I'm not really understand. Yeah,
and I can't. With the Avengers, real quick, he totally threw out a red herring. I thought that that Galactus was going to be the big bad that they were going to go up against. But there's a panel, and I don't remember whether it was New Avengers or Avengers, where it actually shows Galactus sensing whatever bad thing is going on. So it's not Galactus as the big bad. It was going to, because they're going to tie the two books together at some point. There's a through line between the two.
Which one? Avengers and what?
And New Avengers.
Oh, Hickman's writing both of those, isn't he?
Yeah, he's kind of doing the same thing that he did when he was doing FF and Fantastic Four, which is two separate books, but there is a big theme that is eventually going to
Are you still reading New Avengers? Officially or unofficially?
Yeah, unofficially.
Okay. All right.
It's really talky, and it really pissed me off that last issue. So,
After the first one, I wasn't really interested, so I just kind of moved on from there.
That identity crisis ripoff really. See, now I'm all mad.
Oh,
again.
And number two.
No, not number
I remember
two.
You talking about that now.
Yeah, three or whatever, yeah. So they.
Yeah, you weren't the only one that drew that parallel, though.
Well, it was obvious, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what else am I reading from Marvel that I read from Marvel recently?
Did you pick up Young Avengers?
Yeah, I did. It was okay.
See, I liked it. I liked it a lot. If they could take the character bits and the heart from Young Avengers and smush it all into all the plottiness of Avengers, mm-hmm. that would be like the perfect book. Like to me, Hickman, he's got this amazing story going on, but it's kind of, I always find his writing very detached and like, I'm like three hand lengths away from it. But with Young Avengers, I was like,
I can see that.
All right. We are starting the book off with space sex. I am in.
Okay. Now I must've missed that.
What? How could you miss it? Chicky Poo. I don't know their names, but Chicky Poo is up in space and she's just bopped Mr. Marvel or Captain Marvel or Eradicator, yeah. or Marvel Boy, and he's like dancing around.
Oh, that, yeah.
Protector.
Yes.
Protector, sure.
Yes,
Protector. Like that was cool. And then he did like that opening montage that kind of worked. Mm. And that then
I didn't know those characters from before, so it was kind of
no. You know, I don't know them at all. This is the first Young Avengers I've ever read, so I've got no clue who any of them are. But I really liked it. Like I was totally into all the little relationshipy stuff, and that was awesome. It was light on story. Like there wasn't a lot that happened, except that alternate dimension Skrull Mama came in and started sucking on people's brains or something, which is fine. Like it's a cool whatever. But
that's fine. Whatever.
Well, you know, like
Ms. America again.
It's the story, but
yeah, you get the idea that I don't know, maybe a lot of these books are kind of like off in their own little universe sometimes.
Maybe I'm not.
They're not as connected as it seems.
Kind of, yeah. Because you've got, I guess you just. I'm not reading enough Marvel to kind of switch to all the inconsistencies. But yeah. You're right. I mean, you've got Captain America off in some dimension,
literally.
And got him on the, and then you've got him on the Avengers and. Eventually it all works out, and if you're not reading Captain America, it doesn't matter if you don't know that he's not in another dimension because he's hanging out with the Avengers, but I guess if you're reading it all, it might cause your little head to...
Well, I'm reading all the number ones at the very least, and then certain ones that I kind of liked I'm picking up, so...
But I'm okay with it. I mean, think back to when you first picked up comic books. Captain America was in Avengers, but he also was off fighting the good fight with Falcon.
Yeah, that's true.
Totally. Yeah. It doesn't need to all line up for sure. No.
Yeah, you're right.
There was, I mean, and every once in a while in Avengers, they would reference something that happened to Captain America or somebody else, and but it was always in passing. And I'm actually okay, and DC's doing it as well. I'm okay with there being a hint of continuity across the line, but that's enough. I don't want to have to worry about that stuff.
Yeah.
I as guess long it's as the not continuity, as sorry, within the book is consistent. That's
yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
No, I agree.
And if they claim that there's going to be continuity, then for God's sake, give us continuity. But I don't think anyone is claiming that or has put it down. I think the closest they come is, again, between FF and Fantastic Four and Avengers and New Avengers, and a couple of the X books are supposed to be pretty closely tied together. But for the most part, like you said, they're on their own. And Spider-Man, he's got his own, he's got his own little universe going on. And I'm not going to worry about all that because he pops up in Avengers as well. It's a
I agree.
I mean, though, as long as in Avengers, they have it being Superior Spider-Man as opposed to Amazing Spider-Man. That would bug me a little bit. if they reference what's going on in Spider-Man, but he's not being the douche that he is in Superior Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I guess they'll have to eventually figure that out. Like, I mean, eventually Peter Parker can't be on the Avengers team anymore because, you know, he's dead.
Yeah, they'll figure that out, I'm sure. Something.
Well, apparently he's going to be fired. So we'll see when that happens.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be from Avengers or from his job at Horizon Labs. By the way, it's still a great book.
I don't know. It didn't click with me. Maybe it's because I haven't read it all the way up to that point. But I don't know. I didn't pick up the second issue. I mean, that might change later. But I'm enjoying the new Fantastic Four a lot better in FF. I also read the Fearless Defenders number one. It was interesting. Don't think I'll pick up another one. But, you know, Cullen Bunn is a really good writer.
Yeah,
he does the Sixth Gun.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
My complaint with Fearless Defenders is coloring. Throughout most of the book, Misty Knight was a white woman.
Really? I missed that.
You need pick up a copy or check out a copy.
I've got a copy. I read through it. It was fine, but I didn't include the coloring.
Misty,
she's not as dark as she normally is.
I guess you can see that. Okay. Well, I was. Did anybody read the new Uncanny X-Men number one?
Yeah.
didn't care for it. I liked it better than the all new, personally.
I love Chris Backlow's art. I mean, let me say that up front.
Yeah.
His art always does it for me. It's an interesting story. I think I saw somewhere online someone was a little shocked that the government still doesn't have something in place to take care of these guys out in the field. But And it seems, you know, the only way you can take out Cyclops is kill him. I don't think so.
I mean, he's all he's got's the optic blast. Otherwise, he's just normal. Now, I missed where Cyclops crippled Magneto. Did that happen in X-Men versus Avengers?
Yes.
Okay, I must have missed that.
It was explained. It was explained that because he was hanging out so closely with the Phoenix Five, that his powers got messed up just like theirs did.
Was that in Consequences, the follow up thing?
No, it was.
I don't remember.
Because he seemed pretty powerful in Consequences when he busted him out of prison.
It was. I want to say it was in All New X-Men, actually.
Okay. Well,
there's a moment where they go and they're breaking Emma Frost out of they're convoying her across the country, and Magneto and Magic and Cyclops go to break her out, and his powers start to fluctuate. Magneto's powers start to fluctuate.
Oh, okay.
He has a moment where he's like basically verbally bitch slapping Scott for having done this to him. And
interesting.
It seems like the only one who didn't get impacted negatively by the Phoenix, the two Rasputin kids didn't get screwed up by it. Colossus can still turn to metal, which is, and Magic can still transport.
Interesting.
So she's more and more evil. Evil.
Very interesting.
I read too many goddamn comics.
Oh, no, you don't. There's no such thing. I don't even want to hear that.
That I know this stuff. That I know this nonsense.
No, well, I mean, yeah, well, you know, there's nothing really wrong with that. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, you know.
That kind of minutia. You guys, whatever.
Well, I was like, look, I thought I've read everything, but I mean, obviously I haven't read that all the way through, but that particular title, but
And maybe that's it. Maybe I did a little issue dump on myself for the All New X-Men, so I caught it when mm-hmm. I just read those.
So. Yeah. So anyway, okay. Well, let's see. I haven't read Secret Avengers Volume 2, Number 1. But other than that, I think I'm caught up with the number ones as far as Marvel now.
You're not going to like it. It starts off really well, and then it just deteriorates.
Really? Who does it?
Nick Spencer, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm already mad at him anyway for that Infinite Vacation book that he did. Did you read that?
No.
Oh my god.
But I remember, like, was one of the issues, did it take, like, forever for the last issue to come out?
Oh, well, yeah, it came out, it took so long to come out, it was one of the last comics I had at DCBS, and they sent an email out. Well, since this was solicited, they raised the price. So do you still want it? And I'm like, well, no. So I canceled it, and the concept was good, but it just turned into, it was a lot like that that movie with William Fishburne and Sam Elliott where they were, rescue ship was going out to meet the ship that was the first light speed ship and it disappeared. Have you ever seen that movie?
Titanic?
No. It's about that bad. But it was a real great science fiction concept, and then the next thing you know, there's some guy standing there with eyeballs in his hands that he ripped out of his own head. I mean, it just went totally wanky. It was like they saw the devil or something when they went too fast. And it was just a total gore fest after that. I mean, that's kind of what that turned into. So, yeah, I did not... I can't remember the name of it. I saw it for free, and I wanted for my money back. That's how bad it was. I was mad. I was actually upset of how bad that was. Because, I mean, William Fishburne had a couple other big-name actors in it and great science fiction concept. It's like Sam Elliott had designed the ship, and his wife was on it, or girlfriend, or fiance, or whatever, and they went faster than the speed of light and disappeared, and this is like 7 or 8 years later. The ship shows up, and they're going out there to find out what the deal is. And if you ever get the chance to see that runway,
I take it that's not Marmaduke, right?
No, that's not Marmaduke. What the hell is that going to
be? That's a Sam Elliott movie. So.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to have to find that out. Anyway, what else?
Air? No, probably not.
I'm trying to think Supernova, but I know that's not it.
Okay. Well, Morning Glory, speaking of Nick Spencer, Morning Glory came out this week.
Yes, yeah. It did.
Double-sized
and whoop-de-whooped.
I haven't read it. We got the first two trades for the show, and I haven't finished reading it, so.
Catch up.
I'll have plenty of time.
But it has been a couple months since the issues came out, right, Murray? I mean, I just...
was November, so it's been a while.
Wow. That's a Nick Spencer book, too, though.
That's a Nick Spencer.
That's where I'm... Okay, now I'm understanding the...
That's why I brought it up.
That's why you brought it up. Gotcha.
There was, in fact, a through line with my little comment there.
It makes perfect sense now.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Absolute perfect sense.
Dun, dun, dun.
So...
Have you read it yet, Murray?
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow.
I almost read it in the car. But driving and reading is not a good plan.
No, it is not a good plan.
Wow. You're kind of blowing your opportunity to crash the car and get a ticket all at the same time.
No, it was good. It did not go where I expected. Like, the last storyline has kind of been following these new students at the school who have their own history with the Morning Glory Academy and stuff, and I figured we'd get more of that. Like, it's leading up to a season-ending issue in a month or two, and then they're taking a bit of a break, and then they're coming back with season two. So I was expecting more of that, and instead it was a very character-centric focused issue, but it's still kind of, it gave us a little bit of backstory, but still dumped a whole lot more questions on us. So
there it is. I found it. Sorry.
But it was good. It was really, really good.
And do we get to again see the same scenes over and over again that we've now seen six times in previous issues?
The whole lost
thing. I don't think he does that in this issue so much. I think some of the stuff he's laying down in this issue will probably get referenced in later issues, and then we may see it from a different point of view. He kind of filled in blanks on stuff that we had heard about in previous issues but hadn't ever really seen, so we got to see some of those scenes he talked about for the first time. So it wasn't exactly new information, but it was stuff that we hadn't been able to see on camera yet. So that was kind of cool. That was kind of, and it focused on my favorite character, so that's also very cool.
Mm. Who is your favorite character?
I like Ike. I think that's his name.
I might have to read that. Start reading from the beginning again.
Yeah, the little spoiled rich guy who's...
Oh, that kid. Yeah, I can't stand that kid.
Oh, no. He's awesome. He's very, very awesome.
Sam Neill, not Sam Elliott.
Yeah, I know. I got the Sams mixed up. The movie is 1997 Event Horizon, just for those of you who are playing at home, by the way. And it's Lawrence Fishburne, not William Fishburne. See how I was really off.
I actually figured out on my own, but
oh, you did?
Well, I didn't know who William Fishburne was.
Yeah, that's why, because he does not exist. Anyway,
so well, I'm looking forward to reading The Morning Glories, the latest issue. I've got it.
Yeah, I got it.
On my little tablet-y thingy over here. So
I've got to catch up with that myself.
I've actually realized that I have not picked up an individual comic in 6 months almost, and I'm not missing it at all.
Yeah, really? I kind of am.
I'm not. If I didn't have this on a weekly basis, I probably would. Mm. But I'm able to do my geek dump once a week, and I'm good with that.
Yeah, I understand.
Plus, like, there's a couple of guys at my work that I can geek out with a little bit too. So.
Oh, that's cool. What else did I read?
Now, Murray, yes. your little corner of the world out there, Canada, is getting a lot of play in DC Universe right now.
Really?
Are they going after the Canadians up there?
Yeah, the Canadians are the badasses apparently in both Human Bomb and Dial H.
Oh, Human Bomb, well, yeah.
See, I didn't get the latest Dial H. They sold out. So it's coming later, so I'll have to see that then. I forgot, yeah, we were in the Human Bomb. And you know what? That series took a really interesting turn.
It did.
I was expecting it to be more terrorism, war on blah, 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 which I wasn't looking for. Like, it was fine, but it wasn't what I was... But then they took, like, this sci-fi twisty turn, and it was like, very cool.
Yeah, I like that.
But they're using it. They've got this like this whole badass military thing in Canada going on there.
Yeah,
and then again, they've got their also badass military thing going on in Dial H. So watch out for the Canadians. They're not as nice as we thought. It's a facade.
Oh well. Yeah, I actually enjoyed that book, that Human Bomb. That's a pretty good book.
Yep, me too.
It wasn't. I liked it better than that. What was the one with the doll and
Phantom Lady and Doll Man?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was actually named that, wasn't it? I was thinking it was named something else. I'm having a hard time with remembering those things, huh?
OLD.
Let's see, what else? What else have we read? Oh, I read, I don't know if you've heard about the new movie with Will Smith and his son, but it's called After Earth. His son, Jaden Smith. It's about... Say what?
He was the Karate Kid.
Oh, that's right, he was. I never saw that movie. But anyway. This movie, it's basically hundreds of years after humans flood Earth to escape its toxic atmosphere. The remaining survivors colonize a remote planet, begin to rebuild, but the society they create suffers from deep divisions within scientific innovators and spiritual leaders, often at bitter odds. Even worse, humanity has come under assault by mysterious alien species. Now, and it's written by Michael Jan Friedman and Robert Greenberger. It's supposed to be a prequel to that movie. And it was very good. It was only $1.99 by Dynamite. It came out this week. Actually, I take that back. The print release was 10/17/2012. It was just released on digital on the 13th.
So Jan Michael Friedman, like from
No, Michael Jan Friedman that writes Star Trek novels, oh. And Robert Greenberger who writes comics and Star Trek novels.
Yeah, he was like the DC editor or something, wasn't he?
Yes, he was for a while. Yeah, they wanted him. Didio had mentioned him doing that Who's Who series, and it never came about. I'm actually on his Facebook, and he always makes. I talked to him a couple times actually, and he always says happy birthday to me on Facebook when that time comes around. So, but and he just got through putting out an unauthorized Star Trek timeline or something like that. But he's a freelance writer and he does all kinds of stuff. And I follow his blog pretty frequently, and he's a pretty cool guy. So, but anyway, yeah, Michael Jan Friedman has done all kinds of Star Trek stuff. Lots of books. I've read a lot of their books. He wrote Dark Stars too. Looks like he got some Flash issues under his belt as well, and Legend of the DC Universe as well. So anyway, check that out. It's pretty good. So it kind of sets up the movie.
So speaking of Star Trek, are you looking forward to?
oh yes, the new Star Wars movie. Yes, I'm. Oh, they have a prequel comic. IDW's put a prequel comic out. I've already read the first issue. I'm really trying to keep away from spoilers. I'm not sure how far that'll go because the. I think it was IDW. Yeah, they did. They did the same thing before the first one, and it added a lot to it. Something to check out.
Did you see that? I think it was Entertainment Weekly or one of them.
Yeah.
They inadvertently put out that cover that identified him as Khan.
Yeah, I think they did, but that I don't know if he's Khan or not. We'll see. We shall see.
I hope he is. I hope he is. Why not, right?
Yeah, why not? He can do whatever he wants.
He's Sherlock Holmes, for God's sake.
Yeah, I still haven't watched all of the second season of that. Whoa. I have it on Blu-ray. Yeah, I have it on Blu-ray. I need to finish it.
Yes, you do.
So once we
and then watch Elementary.
I don't know if I want to do that or not. It's on Amazon, but I don't want to pay for it. I might have to get it otherwise.
I like the episodes of Elementary I saw. I haven't kept up with it, but
yeah,
thought it was fine.
Yeah,
They had that guy. Oh, what is that wrestler who turned actor's name? Oh crap, it's gonna bug me. But he was in he's in all those Jason Statham movies and stuff. Never mind. Go on. He played like a Moriarty type character.
Oh, okay.
All right.
That doesn't narrow it down.
It's a fun show. I got off comics there for a sec. My bad. Sorry.
No, that's fine. I talked about that stupid movie that I didn't even like.
Your turn, Murray.
Okay.
Go off on a tangent, Murray. Come on. I know you can do it.
Come on.
Thank you for that insight, Murray. Appreciate it.
All right, you okay there, dude? You all right?
He's.
I think sorry, I got mute.
Okay, I think we killed him.
Yeah.
Call 911. I don't know where he lives. It's in Waterloo. That's all I know.
Oh my God! That's help. Great. Anyway.
We were talking comics, and then he started coughing. And that's the last we heard.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yes. Tangent. Okay, so at school today, we had like a sick raccoon wandering the playground before all the students arrived. Like, it was sick. Like, it was like not foaming, but it was like limping and following the custodian around as he shoveled. And that's not really cool. Like, raccoons at night, sure, they're out in the forest, but during the day, ugh, not so good.
Okay.
Muting.
All right.
There you go. Anyway, so we're...
Yeah, it's your turn to get off topic now.
Yes. It was impossible trying to find, like, some sort of animal control phone number. Every number we called was, like, either not in service or...
Hmm.
Yeah, we don't deal with those types of animals. Or we deal with those animals but not in your area or, like, okay.
You know, I've had a conversation a lot like that.
It's like, we got about 30 minutes and then we're going to have students here and... We don't really want to have our students eaten by raccoons. I mean, there are a couple, sure. A couple I could have eaten by a raccoon, but they would not be the ones that get eaten.
It would a couple of them you can't have eaten by raccoons and you'd be okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they would be the last ones eaten because they wouldn't be eaten. It would be the sweet little ones that get eaten, and that makes for terrible headlines. So
Exactly.
Eventually, we found someone who would come and look after the raccoon.
Mm-hmm.
Did they put the raccoon down?
We had some stupid teachers who were out there gung-ho, ready to, like, throw the raccoon into a big recycling bin and save the students, and they could care less that they're going to get tetanus or shots in their stomachs for, like, the next 6 months when the raccoon bites them. Like, they're dumb. Whatever. I'm happy to stay inside and not get chewed on by a raccoon. But they decided, yeah, this will be fun. Whatever. Eventually, I think the raccoon ate some pizza, rolled over on its back and started spasming, and I think by the time the Humane Society came, they were either doing last rites or almost last rites.
Out there.
Nice.
Annoying the raccoon.
Yeah, it was... Whatever. It was a lovely way to start the day.
That sounds like it is.
At least it was at the end of the week rather than like on a Monday. You have to talk about it all week.
Well, I mean, normally you would have like the principal there who would deal with these sorts of things, but she's off on a week's holiday and she didn't. Anyway, I could go off on such a school tangent right now. Wow. Like, we're not going to, but I could. Boy, oh boy, could I.
Could you, huh?
I could. Oh, my goodness.
You just did.
Wait. Funny. No, we're not even getting in. No.
Stop right now.
We'll go back to comics. Okay, so monkey brain, which is probably what raccoons eat. So that ties it all back together.
Okay, great.
Raccoons eat monkey brains when they can find them. And Monkey Brain Comics put out an amazing new issue last week, I think. They're starting up a new series. It's called Fabula, I think.
I got the email from that because you can go on to their website and sign up for things when new things come out, but I didn't get a chance to read it.
This one is written and illustrated by Dalton Rose, and it's the first chapter of I don't know how many, but it's...
Denali, you said?
No, I didn't like that one.
Okay.
It was Fabula.
Oh, Fabula. This looks like they have one called High Crimes as well.
That one was good, too. High Crimes was like...
There's one called...
Folks climbing the Alps.
Yeah.
And because so many people have been climbing the Alps lately, you get people that are like, they get, you know, they don't make it all the way up, or they make it all the way up and then they don't make it the way down. So they die on the mountain, and then you send people up, or like scavengers. Scavengers go up through the Alps and they like pick their pockets, or they scavenge the dead bodies, or they bring the dead bodies back for a price to give them to their families and stuff. So it's kind of a neat crime series set in the Alps. I think it's the Alps. I don't know, some big high mountain.
So I had to step away for just a moment. What the hell are you talking about?
This book that Monkey Brain put out called High Crimes.
Oh, okay.
It's about grave robbing mountain climbers.
Yeah, that's kind of the way. Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. I liked it. I liked that one.
Here, people die every year on Mount Everest. This year is going to be murder. Living in the bleak majesty of Kathmandu, Zan Jensen is an American expatriate on the run from a scandalous past. Working for a fly-by-night adventure consulting service, Zan escorts tourists and thrill-seekers up the Himalaya's tallest and deadliest peaks, along with Haskell Price, fellow climbing guide and mentor. Pardon me. The two partner up in a more sinister line of work, high-altitude grave robbing. So they go up, and the people that died up there, they steal their crap.
Yeah, or they, like, cut off their hands to get the fingerprints so that they can contact the loved ones that are left behind and say...
Yeah, it says that left... Yeah, right hands. I wondered what that meant.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, we found your mountain climbing hubby. If you want to... If you want proof, it'll be $10,000 or whatever.
Interesting.
So it's a good series. I liked it.
The Fabula looks interesting as well.
It's cool. Now, the story, it's a little light on story, but the artwork is so cool. It's kind of a mix of... Who does Where the Wild Things Are?
Sendak.
Yeah, it's kind of a mix of Maurice Sendak and Carla Speed McNeil, who does Finder, and maybe a little bit of Scott Pilgrim thrown in there.
Interesting.
The artwork is really – it's got a cool, cool look.
All right, I'll buy that for $0.99.
Totally you will. And it's – I'm not sure where the story's going. It's kind of – it's kind of a fantasy. What do they say here about it? They say it's...
A young girl travels across a dangerous landscape of sorcerers and monsters in search of a means to lift a curse, and along the way she'll have to challenge the greatest forces of her world. That sounds
right.
good
so
to
it's,
me.
I mean, it's pretty generic, but
it sounds like a good book to read
really
to the
kids.
Cool. So,
Yeah. And, like, the monsters and sorcerers and stuff have a very... Like, we're not talking elves and orcs and all those Dungeon and Dragon things. We're talking, like, monsters with history. Like, I don't know, ancient Egyptian-looking monsters or Indian type. Like, it's I liked it. I really liked it a lot.
It's kind of like they have minotaurs in there instead of...
Yeah, it's just, it's got a really cool look. Like I said, it's kind of short on story. But I'm willing to give it a couple of issues because I really thought it was cool looking.
Well, also, hopefully they come out on time because that's what's kept me with Masks and Monsters is that it's in a regular schedule.
Because I've actually started doing, you know, things that are new. They got that new and it'll show everything that's – I'll go through everything that's come out and make sure I get – things like that. And here's a one shot they've got also called Unfair. A mysterious kidnapping in a father's doubt-ridden race against time to save his child and face down a debt that cannot be repaid.
Yeah, I wanted to pick that up. I didn't yet, but I thought it looked...
I'm going to get that for $1, which excuse me, 99 cents. Now, did you guys ever read that revival series that... Mike Norton did with that's Tim Seeley.
No, I would like to.
Well, he's canceling / postponing it, I guess, along with Hack and Slash. But it's really good.
I thought Hack Slash was canceled. I thought it was not canceled, but
no, he just decided to stop because he's doing all this other work. So that was the other creator owned thing he was doing. Was that, and it was really good. Anyway, check that out. It's a zombie with a twist book that I enjoyed. That not my usual thing, but since Norton was on it, I got it. Speaking of that, let me bring that around. Mike Norton has a creator-owned thing on Dark Horse as well called The Answer.
I would like to see that one too.
I have not bought that, but I saw it when I was looking at stuff on my deal.
It didn't come out to my comic shop, and I didn't think to pre-order it. And Dark Horse isn't on Comixology, are they? They have their own.
They have their own thing. Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
Yeah, that kind of keeps me away from it, right? Like,
well, yeah, today I decided to go because I had bought stuff and I hadn't read it, so I was like, I'm going to go in. Yeah, the other guy that does it is Dennis Hopeless, but I got his Battle Pug, Norton's Battle Pug, on there, which I haven't read yet. But
oh, you'll love it.
Yeah, I think I will. But yeah, I want to pick that up too. And check it out, because Norton does some. Looks like he's done some good work on it.
Yeah,
I can't read everything and watch my Top Chef and my Amazing Race and my Following.
You got to do some of this stuff at work, man. Come on, haven't you figured that out?
That's how I've been watching Walking Dead. Is at work?
Oh well, yeah, I have too, but you know,
you can only get away with so much.
I was gonna watch Justified at work, but I forgot it's a little bit on the risque side, so I was like, whoa, oh, okay.
Walking Dead.
Well, Walking Dead's just gore, but, you know, sometimes they show bear buttocks, so I didn't, even though it was my lunch hour, I didn't want to do that, so didn't want to take the chance, you know what I'm saying?
I see. So your workplace has a buttocks-covered rule.
No, not really a rule. I just didn't want to take the chance, you know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
So, more of a loose agreement amongst all the coworkers.
Yeah, that's it. But it was on my lunch hour, so, you know, not like I was reading while I was working.
Murray grades papers during lunch hour.
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
Of course he does.
If he got an hour.
Hour? That would be awesome for lunch. No. No.
It's okay, Murray. I spend at least 4 days out of my work week eating my lunch at my desk. So
I do too. I eat every day at my desk, pretty much. And it's a good time to get work done. Sometimes,
mostly just because I figure everyone else is away. I can get some work done, or I actually have to
put my lunch on the calendar so people can't schedule meetings during lunch hour.
Oh, they will anyways. Don't.
So far, they haven't, but because I'll decline them if they do. I'll get my lunch hour, damn it. But anyway, let's see. Where are we? Oh yeah, comics we read. What else have we read?
Okay, here's what I've read, and it's not pirated by me.
Okay.
I don't know where somebody else got it, but David. Oh, what's his last name? Theobald.
Oh, yes. Our group. Yes, I know.
Anyway. He convinced me that I would not be a pirate if I read his stuff. So he found a way to send me his run of Dazzler.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
It's pretty awesome.
With the old Dazzler series?
Uh-huh. Oh, I had no idea what to expect. None. But
I don't think I've ever read any of that either.
I never have. I kind of liked it. Huh. I mean, I only read 4 or 5 issues, but it's by Tom DeFalco.
Really?
Really? But it's kind of...
Legion Lost Tom DeFalco?
Yes, Legion Lost Tom DeFalco has also done Dazzler. And it's kind of...
Who's doing the art at that point, at the beginning of the
series? I want to say the first couple of issues were John Romita, or John Romita Jr. maybe?
Wow.
I'm guessing. And then some dude named Frank Springer is on the book right now.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, that's an interesting one to take advantage of. See, I'm reading Preacher. That's my flashback series right now that I never read. So
really?
I will. I'll lend you my Preacher series when I'm done with it, Murray. If you're interested.
Yeah.
Someone said it's like a love story. That's not what I think of when I think of Preacher.
What I've heard about it, no.
I forget how it came up. It came up in conversation that someone thought. Yeah, there's like a love story in there, and I thought, really? Now I'm interested. Maybe.
I'm 3 issues in, and I'm not seeing it, but I don't remember how many issues the whole thing is. But I figure any book that's got a character named Arseface in it is probably... that doesn't strike me as a love story plot.
Hmm. Wow, that's interesting.
Gotcha.
I've heard a lot of weird ass things.
About what an amazing series. Time to be a comic reader, where we can, you know, through means of, you know, legal or illegal, whatever, we can still read this stuff.
I now, mean, kids, we don't try this at home. Now we're professionals.
Look, I made it very clear to David that A, I'm a techno boob and have no clue how to steal stuff, even if I were given the opportunity. Like, if the internet were a big room with a door, mm-hmm. I don't think I'd know how to open the door to grab all the stuff that's apparently out there. I don't know how to do that.
Okay. However, okay.
So, like, I would be a terrible pirate. I could probably rock the pirate look, but I would not be a great pirate. I would be off the plank before you know it.
You're no Dread Pirate Roberts.
Yes, yes.
No, that is exactly what I'm saying. I would be like...
That's hilarious.
Hiding in the cabin or something. But
You'd be Chris Elliott from Cabin Boy.
That's hilarious.
Yes.
Totally. That's funny.
Totally. However, if stuff magically appears in a Dropbox, I'm more than happy to read it.
Well, you know, once I get my setup again, who knows what happened there.
Wow, it's a magic inbox.
Yep.
So, what did Easter Bunny leave you this week, Murray? Dazzler. Look.
Yeah,
oh, it's a new Dazzler.
It's like she takes on Dr. Doom in like the third issue, maybe.
Oh,
the
my
third,
goodness.
And totally punks him. And who?
As she tends to do.
Yeah,
doesn't
yeah, yeah.
And the first Galactus at some point.
Oh, I cannot wait. That's awesome. But it's like the first couple of issues are really tied into the Marvel Universe. Like, you've got the X-Men popping in and out. You got the Fantastic Four visiting. It's really cool. Like, it's a neat little slice of Marvel life in the early 80s as she's trying to make her way in the world and be a singer and, you know, do her thing.
Interesting.
She better pop. The X-Men better pop up. I mean, that's where she first appeared, was during the Phoenix saga, so...
Yeah, that's right. I remember that.
They show up, and it's cool. It's
well, she
like,
was an X-Men for a long time.
She still is.
Is she?
Yeah.
I did a search on Comixology for Dazzler, and only had one issue. From apparently, it was tied into the Necrotia aftermath.
Now, my question for you, Murray, is: could you find yourself maybe getting a little? Burnt on it after a little while. I don't know how many issues there were, so
Well, let's find out.
40.
40.
I think
that's not bad.
You could digest 40 issues and not get too fried on it, I think.
Yeah.
Huh. It was originally developed as a cross-promotional multimedia creation between Casablanca Records and Marvel Comics, until the tie-ins were dropped in 1980. It was the characters created by a committee of Marvel staff, principally writer, editor Tom DeFalco and illustrator John Romita Jr.
Yeah, you should see when they list the creators in the book,
mm-hmm.
it's like created by Tom DeFalco, John Romita, Jim Shooter. Like they list like five or six or seven people that are all involved in the creation of this character.
Yeah.
They all get that $15 check every once in a while when they use it.
42 issues.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. And the graphic novel titled Dazzler, the Movie.
Which, actually, that is an awesome,
is it?
Awesome graphic novel.
You know, I read the four-issue series Beauty and the Beast, that she was with the Beast. They were, like, in love or whatever. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Furry love.
Mm-hmm. Wow, it gives her whole history in here.
The Dazzler graphic novel they used as the thing that outed mutants throughout the Marvel Universe. She was outed.
Yeah. Anyway, it's cool. I'm not too far into it, and if I start wearing cords and wearing like big gold chains, you're gonna have to stop me from reading the rest of it. But at this point, I'm kind of down with it.
If you start wearing roller skates and face painting like Kiss, then it's really
I can guarantee I will not wear roller skates.
That's funny.
That I think I can safely say.
How can you be so confident?
I think I can be confident in the fact that I'm a klutz. I'm not gonna.
No roller skating in your future?
No.
Okay.
That's no, serious. I do not have a history as a roller derby dude.
I didn't know she was in Excalibur.
Like a fox.
Yeah, it tells what happens. The Extreme X-Men book.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Dazzler is later summoned to Utopia. This is before Avengers vs. X-Men. And some of the Utopia helps Cyclops in danger with a ghost box. When the ghost box is open, several alternate reality X-Men are seen fighting an evil version of Professor X. When Dazzler tries to help them, she gets sucked through a portal and is whisked away from Earth 616, nearly avoiding the events of Avengers vs. X-Men. She becomes a team leader after Emmeline Frost opts to stay on a world where mutants are gods. Dazzler was later united with her new Excalibur teammate, Sage, when she tries to rescue a kid version of Nightcrawler. That's all in the Extreme X-Men book, apparently. Interesting.
Gotcha.
Well, there you have it. Dazzler cast.
Anyway, well, I just wondered where she was, because she was absent from Avengers vs. X-Men, so.
Yeah, she stopped hanging out with a gay Wolverine, apparently.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't want to ever hear those two words together again.
Well,
gay sorry,
Wolverine. Not that I have any problem with gay, you know. But that's just dumb.
You have a problem with Wolverines.
Yes, that I do have a problem with.
Gotcha.
That came out so bad. Anyway. I'm gonna scratch that one. No, I'm just kidding. We're all blue all the time here.
What?
What else are we?
Archer and Armstrong and Harbinger.
Yes, I am continually enjoying those Valiant comics, I have to say.
I'm only reading those two, but I'm tempted to pick up X-O Man of War.
You know, I didn't really like the idea of it, but I do enjoy it. I'm reading all of them right now. Bloodshot and the whole bit. I'm reading all of them, and I do like them.
Archer Armstrong, Fred Van Lente. My God, he's getting this son of a bitch is going to get me through G.I. Joe. That's how good he is.
Oh, I heard you ask about that.
It was supposed to be out this week, and I was disappointed to not see it.
Oh, that's right. Who took it over? IDW? That's right.
And it's if it is as good as his run on Archer and Armstrong, as well as his Alpha Flight and his Hercules and his Hulk and I don't know whatever other stuff I can't think of off the top of my head that he's done. I'm there. I will read G.I. Joe.
Interesting. But let's see. Yeah, X-O Man at War is good, and they're tying them together a little bit. X-O Man at War and not that really.
Well, that's what Josh Dysart told us. You know.
Yeah, that's right.
Conscious that they're going to have a big crossover in the.
Yeah, Bloodshot and Harbinger are crossing over for sure. But yeah, I actually like all of them. I'm wondering when they're going to do the Ninjak series, because he was in several issues of X-O Manowar.
Sure, it will be out there at some point.
And I might even read more of that Quantum and Woody series from God knows when. I think I read the first issue. It was free.
Bob Layton.
Yeah, I've always liked his art. Wasn't that many. There's only 32 issues. I mean, you know, doesn't take long.
All right. So I've held off on this, and I don't know if you've read it, Murray, but I'm pretty certain that Chris, you've read it. Yes. Batman number 17.
Yeah, I was disappointed. All those tie-ins were half of them weren't really tie-ins. I mean, they just mentioned it. Batgirl was probably the closest. Well, maybe a little bit of Nightwing and the other, but it went on way too long, He should have done it more like Night of the Owl, where they had like 1 month, all of the titles were involved, and then got it over. It was just anticlimactic to me.
Incredibly anticlimactic, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I thought they were really going to do something big, and you know, maybe kill off one of those members or maim, you know, Jason Todd or something like that. But no, it's, you know.
And they don't even show a body at the end. I mean,
no, I know. I was really hoping that Batman was going to kill him. I really was.
Yes, I think it all worked. And then the him lifting the lid on the platter.
Spoil that for me, because Batgirl ended with the platter, and then the next issue we got no platter.
Yeah.
Do you want a spoiler on this, Murray? Are you kidding?
I'd like to know what was under the platter. Sure.
It was fake faces. He had made like some like.
Yeah, he had them all bandaged.
All the family were bandaged up, like, and they had bloody bandages on their faces.
Right. Yeah. It made it look like they cut their faces off, like he had had.
Gotcha.
He lifts the lid on all the platters, and there's their faces looking back at them, and they're all freaking out because he's also numbed their faces, which we find out kind of as an afterthought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then they take off the bandages, and they're all okay.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. So it was one big one big joke.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Ha 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 ha.
And all through the whole thing, they kept hinting that maybe he knew who all. Well, he was even saying it. He knew who they all were, knew their secret identities, and there was a lot of stuff to show that, you know, that made it look like he did. But that was all a ruse too. It was just part of his game. He was trying to shake them up, which it looks like he did, but.
I will say, for my disappointment, the anticlimactic nature of it, it was written really well.
Oh, I agree. It was. I really thought that they were going to do something big. And I still do not. The whole cutting off of his face in the first place, I don't think it really served any purpose at all, except for just to shock the hell out of people.
Yep.
I've come to that realization. Because it just makes no sense. I mean, I can see the Joker doing anything, but
yeah. You will, and Murray, if you like good writing, it's good writing. It's just it doesn't quite. I don't think it lives up to the hype.
Oh man, no way.
Build up of the last of like the last couple weeks.
Yeah, it's not even close to the hype that it. Well, the whole thing, they hyped the crap out of it since they you first heard about it. And it's, it didn't live up to the hype at all, not even close.
And then it ends with all of them, all the Bat family kind of shining Bruce Wayne on, telling him, oh, I don't have time for you, I can't hang out with you. And
I think they were a little bit hurt that he didn't tell them about that, you know, thing, but.
Booty hoo hoo.
Yeah, whatever, right?
Like, every single one of them has not been betrayed or beaten to a pulp by a friend at some point.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But anyway.
Again, I still think that Scott Snyder is one of the best writers that DC's got on staff. And
well, that and the guy who does Batman and Robin.
Tomasi,
yes. He is awesome. That book, that last one where Damian tricks, which he really does cool things, detective work. And tricks Wayne to go around Europe, and meanwhile he thinks he's chasing him. Well, he knew, but meanwhile he's out protecting Gotham City for a couple of days without him.
I haven't read 17 yet. I'm still
17. Is that came out?
Yeah, it came out this week along with Batgirl.
Oh yeah, I haven't read that either. Yeah, and I went ahead and bought Batgirl even though I dropped it previously.
I liked Batgirl. It was the new writer. Sorry, the new guest writer.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah, and you know, it was good. Like, he picked up on little subplots and stuff, and he like, often when you get a new writer coming on, it's wipe the slate clean, fresh start, whatever happened before isn't of any imports. But he worked really hard to pull threads and pull storylines that were already in progress and continue to build on them and advance on them. And I enjoyed it. It's got – it doesn't sound like Simone's Batgirl, but, I mean, you wouldn't expect it to because it's not Simone writing it. But it's like, I think Simone tended to tell the story from Batgirl's point of view a lot. Like, it was Batgirl narrating the story, and you got her thoughts and feelings and stuff. And this is more of a narrator approach to the book, kind of. But I still liked it. I thought it was good.
All right, then.
But, I mean, it's not – if you weren't enjoying Batgirl before Simone left, I don't know that this would – I don't know that this would convince you to stick around. Like, I don't know. I liked it. I liked it, but I've been enjoying Batgirl. So,
yeah,
for me, it was more of the same.
Yeah. Okay. Excuse me. Did anybody read the new crap?
No, I have not read that. No.
Wow. Katana. I bought it, but I haven't read it yet.
It's out?
Yeah, it came out Wednesday.
No.
I liked the artwork in it. I didn't pick it up, but I flipped through it in the store, and I thought the artwork looked cool. I thought it was a neat... I thought it had a neat look to it. But I haven't read it yet. Yeah. Or, I mean, I haven't read it, and I'm not going to read it. But it looked cool.
Yeah, I went ahead and bought it just for the heck of it. I'll probably do the same thing with the Vibe book. And
yeah, it looks like Vibe comes out next week, actually.
Yeah. Justice League of America's Vibe?
Yes. When exactly is Justice League of America coming out?
I do not know, sir.
They've got all these books tying into it. Maybe...
next week. Justice League of America number one comes out next week as well.
Okay. Really?
Yes, good Justice deal. League number 17, Justice League of America number one, and Justice League of America's Vibe number one.
God, that's very unfortunate.
That's a pretty heavy Justice League week.
Yeah, it is.
And JSA Liberty Files, The Whistling Skull number three comes out.
Gotcha.
And yes, it is a Justice League heavy week next week.
Interesting.
It's Justice League week. It's Jeff Johns week.
Yeah. Now, there's another little thing. What do you guys think about all the Green Lantern creative teams going?
I think we'll see some of the creative team. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if Pete Tomasi went from whatever he's writing, Green Lantern Core, maybe, onto the main book. Like, I could see him taking on Green Lantern.
Yeah, I would really like that if it was.
But
well, he has the most cachet of all the current Green Lantern writers, right?
I would think so. Yeah.
I just wanted to use the word cachet.
Yeah, I figured you did. But that's okay. Thank you. I hope he does, because I really like his work. I really do.
I don't know who the other writers are. I don't know who's writing Red Lanterns and Guardians.
Milligan. New Guardians was Tony Bedard. Oh. That's actually turned out pretty good.
I can almost see Tony Bedard going over to Green Lantern. Like you said, Tomasi would be seems to have the most fan following of those guys.
Well, he's got a lot of good. Hello.
I'm still here.
Hello.
I'm here too. I'm eating the cheeseburger.
All right. We dropped off for a second. Anyway, well, we probably should. Is that what happened?
Yeah.
We probably should wrap it up anyway.
I want to read Katana. That's my
goal. Is that your goal? Yeah. Well, I got to get to bed as soon as I eat because I got to get up at 2 and watch a webpage.
I got to have a kid's birthday party tomorrow. My youngest daughter turned 6 this week.
I saw that. Congratulations, sir.
I think so, yes. We have not killed her yet.
Good.
She needs 6. So it is more surprising that our older one made it to 10.
Yeah.
Are all 9 and 10 year olds this poorly behaved, Murray?
I gotta say, 9 and 10, not my favorite age.
Well, my nephew is 9. He just turned 9, and he's kind of pain right now. So
they're not all gross, but as a collection, I like, you know, the 6 and 7 year olds. They're fun. They're cute. They're funny. Mm-hmm. And then I like jumping up to like the 12 year olds and the 13 and the 14 year olds because they got a little more personality. They got mm-hmm. yeah. The right, in-between ages, they're kind of whiny. They get on my nerves.
I got to tell you the story that my kid's kindergarten teacher told, and I will let you guys go. I promise. Last story.
So that's fine.
We go on for our parent-teacher conference the other night with our kindergartner's teacher. And there's this one kid in the classes, in my daughter's class, his name is Jake Stein. Everyone calls him Jake Stein. They don't call him Jake. On Jake Stein.
Okay.
Jake Stein.
Jake Stein. Exactly. Just like that. Just like that. Jake Stein. And Jake Stein's big thing is during their free period, he runs a restaurant in the classroom. He writes up a menu. He's got this menu all written up. And she was showing us some of the stuff his kids put together, right? And my daughter actually got fired. It was actually a little sad to hear, but she got fired. Because she made a piss poor pizza, apparently.
It's too bad.
So the teacher's telling us the other day that they've been making a lot of noise, and she's like, Jake, you guys got to really comment down. He's like, I know. She says, I know, but we're having a team meeting.
Oh my god, that's hilarious.
And remember, kindergartner, 6 years old, 5, 6, team meeting.
That's funny.
Yeah, that is funny.
I thought so too. All right, I'm sorry. I had to share that.
No, that's fine. That's pretty funny, actually.
Jake Stein is the funniest 6-year-old I've never met. So.
All right. Well, let's see. That's wrapped it up for today. And let's see. Recording's still going. Look at that. Isn't that wonderful? If you want to send us an email at podcast@tellsfromlongbox.com and talk to us about what you would like to hear and what you think of the podcast, just do that. Or you can connect with us on Facebook at the Tales from the Longbox podcast page. Just do a little search for it, real easy. Let's see, what else? You can, on the actual episodes, you can actually comment. And hopefully the actual TalesFromTheLongBox.com proper website can be, I'll have to fix it, later on. Apparently it had some kind of quirky thing and it is unavailable right now, but the show, TalesFromTheLongBox.com/the show site is still functioning properly, so. You can leave comments there on any of those episodes.
Watch out for meteors.
Yes, and watch out for meteors. Yeah, that was kind of freaky, wasn't it? But anyway, that's it for this week, and we'll see you next time.
Excellent.
And we're out.
Oh, boy, this was fun.